The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. I wanted to remind you again, 21 days of prayer for the nation. My wife and I are fasting dinner tonight, and I hate that. Actually, I don't hate it. It's a wonderful thing. We're going to pray together, fast for the nation. You can go to letusworship.us to sign up, letusworship.us. Right now, something exciting, a new film. It's called Nothing But the Truth. And I have as my guest, Pastor Johnny Hunt. Pastor Johnny Hunt, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a delight and joy to be with you.
Tell me, what is this film, Nothing But the Truth?
It's sort of a documentary on the life of Adrian Rogers and many speaking into lots of the noble truth that he spoke in his years before the Lord called him home 16 years ago. And reminding us that America, not just now, but has always been just one generation away from paganism. Take one generation that no longer stands for the moral, absolute truth of God's word, and we find America and America's churches in a serious dilemma. He predicted it so many years ago that it would be the greatest challenge. And today, more people are speaking of my truth as opposed to his truth. And it's a difficult place when it comes to how many Americans still believe in absolute truth.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because it's not like the other side doesn't have a point. It's just that when you add it up, it's all wrong. But they always use, you know, they say, well, there's a different point of view here and a different point of view. You can talk about that all day long. But once you forget that there is such a thing as truth and that it's vital for us to understand what it is, we are, let's face it, in this generation, we have slid dramatically away from biblical truth, which is one of the reasons I'm excited to have you on and to tell people about the film. So where can people find the film, Nothing But the Truth?
Love Worth Finding is the best website probably to go to.
Love Worth Finding. And what is Love Worth Finding? That's a ministry.
That was the TV ministry of Dr. Adrian Rogers, which has continued because he continues to be on hundreds of outlets really around the world, even to this day, even though he's been in heaven for the last 16 years, he's still widely listened to.
Love Worth Finding. Love Worth Finding, folks. Check it out. And you can go to the website, Nothing But the Truth, NBTT, Nothing But the Truth, NBTTmovie.com. So who's in this film? Some people whose names I recognize.
You've got other pastors such as Ken Whitten. You hear from men like Jonathan Falwell. You hear from the pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, Robert Jeffries. You hear from Governor Huckabee, does a major part. Have some notable theologians from college and seminary level, such as Al Mohler, does a large segment of speaking on absolute truth and moral integrity. Lots of different speakers that I think a lot of people not only recognize, but are very notable on the national scene.
Two big names, Lee Strobel and Tony Evans. Tony Evans is so amazing to listen to. Once he starts talking, there's some people, they have such a gift. Once they start talking, you think, wow, I need to hear this. So he's in the film. And how did you get involved in Nothing But the Truth?
It's more from a relationship with Adrian Rogers. Dr. Rogers was my mentor, happened to write the first foreword to a book that I drafted around 25 years ago. And so he spoke for me on many occasions, and I had the privilege of speaking for him. And just through the years, a great relationship, and people knew of his influence on my life. And so when the film looked like it was going to become a reality, I was tapped for a small place. And you're exactly right. Tony Evans does an outstanding job of just defining absolute truth and even answering questions concerning the subject. And again, he makes so much sense. And Lee Strobel, what can we say? He does a remarkable job, as he does in any of his books, on whether it's A Case for Faith or A Case for Christ or A Case for the Resurrection. And he throws a lot of that in, reminding the people of the absolute fact of the life and death of Christ. It's not even debatable anymore. We have at least 9 outside sources from the Bible that give evidence of the life and death of Jesus Christ.
I've written about this in at least 2 of my books, and I was astonished when I realized how settled this is, because you'd get the impression from this culture in which we live that there's a question whether Jesus ever existed, and you think, no, we've got more evidence of his existence than we do of Aristotle. I mean, it's amazing.
Exactly.
And then when you look at the evidence for his resurrection, I never dreamt that there could be this much evidence for somebody's resurrection. Now, again, you can't prove it in the way that you can prove other things, but it's like in a court of law. If somebody says, well, we're going to have to make a decision, life or death decision. Do you think it happened or not? The evidence is just astonishing evidence, and we need to know that. Now, I never had the privilege of knowing Adrian Rogers. Where was his ministry? What part of the country was he in?
He was at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for the last 30-plus years of his life and ministry. So he was on national television and really worldwide television, and had served 3 terms as president of the Southern Baptist Convention, which still serves as the largest evangelical body to ever exist on the North American continent. And so he was a real voice. It was sort of the E.F. Hutton of the evangelical world for the last 20 years of his life. If he cleared his throat, everyone else began to listen.
Now, are there any clips of him in this film?
Yes, a good number of his clips, preaching from his pulpit, just standing and answering particular questions. All throughout the film, he will be featured.
And you said his website, even though he's been with the Lord for 16 years, it's still functioning. It's Love Worth Finding.
Exactly. Still the same site that he used when he was alive, and some dear friends of his and members of the church. Is really a remarkable story. They're kids that used to knock on his door when they were 12 years old and run when he came to the door. And then they talked about how he came out and in kindness said, okay, boys, come out from behind the bushes. They'd come in, and he would just show real kindness to them. Today, some of those boys are multimillionaires, members of Bellevue, so influenced by his life that they've literally paid for this film as a legacy to the life of the man that influenced them.
Well, it's a good thing he didn't reach for the BB gun, as I would have done if those punks came up to my porch. No, it's kind of
exactly.
Cool, right? You hear these stories of redemption, 12-year-old troublemakers suddenly funding the film to glorify God through this man's life, Adrian Rogers.
Exactly.
I'm just thrilled to know of him and of the film. I want to tell people again, it's called Nothing But the Truth. It's on DVD, and you can go to NBTT. That's Nothing But the Truth. NBTTmovie.com. NBTTmovie.com. It features Mike Huckabee, Lee Strobel, Tony Evans, Dave Ramsey, and I'm not in it because they couldn't afford my fee. It's really terrible.
Right.
I couldn't. It's such a sad thing. No, but this is exciting. We need more of this, and I'm just thrilled that even after somebody passes, we can get to know about them and their life and their legacy. So the website, of course, is Love Worth Finding. And what part of the country are you in, Pastor Hunt?
I pastored First Baptist Church, Woodstock, Georgia, for the last 33 years, and I stepped aside, really transitioned, some would say retired from the church, but I'm a senior vice president of North American Mission Board and Evangelism and Pastoral Leadership.
And where's Woodstock? What's that near?
Woodstock is northwest Atlanta, about 35 miles northwest of the city of Atlanta.
I know that
still
area.
Still part of the metroplex.
Glad to know it's there. Well, God bless you. And again, folks, the film, you can go to NBTT movie.com. It's nothing but the truth. It sounds very exciting. NBTTmovie.com. And the website of Adrian Rogers, still working. Love Worth Finding. I would check it out if I were you, and I will check it out myself. And Pastor Johnny Hunt, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric. Joy to be with you.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do.
Hey, folks, very exciting news. You've heard about the 1619 Project, which, since we don't have a ton of time, I will just simply say is evil and full of baloney. But wouldn't you want some more details? I would. If you're going to reject something as utterly as I have, you know, you want to be able to back it up with a big book that has all the facts. Well, Mary Graybar, who is my guest, has written a book called Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America. Mary Graybar, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, listen, you wrote a book called Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. It's devastating stuff. I mean, let's start there. Who are these people that obviously, you know, for lack of a better verb, hate America? Why are they putting forward narratives that are not only pernicious, but are actually false? There's no question that Howard Zinn's version of America and the 1619 Project's version of America, this is complete nonsense being peddled as though it were true. Why do these people want to destroy the greatest nation in the history of the world?
Well, I think they have some personal resentment. Howard Zinn and Nicole Hannah Jones, who is the creator of the 1619 Project, have slightly different motivations. Both are promoting a kind of neo-Marxist version of history. Howard Zinn, of course, was a one-time member of the Communist Party, and his allegiance was to communism, and he hated this country, and he hoped to foment a communist revolution. Nicole Hannah Jones, from her interviews and what I've read about her and things that she has said, has this resentment towards this country. She believes, perhaps going back to her family that was mistreated because of their race, the black side of her family, she is biracial, believes that this country has not treated her fairly. And she believes in Fidel Castro's Cuba. She praises that regime. She took a trip there. And her politics are aligned with the squad of the Democratic Party, the far left. She wants to see a redistribution of wealth. She wants socialized health care. And so this is a history that kind of fits in. She may not be as aware of the real history as Howard Zinn, but she refuses to take any kind of criticism that would kind of enlighten her as to what really did happen.
Well, again, you know, you have to go back to even the title, The 1619 Project. It is deliberately misleading. Let's be honest. It is deliberately misleading. It has confused millions at this point. And the idea that you would say – that the American Project started in 1619. That's baloney on every level. You don't even know where to begin. But with the help of the New York Times, which used to be reputable, and I mean, of course, in the previous century, I'm talking about the 19th, but the New York Times has gotten behind this. All kinds of schools have gotten behind this. This is flat out false information being pushed very strongly. And again, to say it, it's dramatically un-American. I mean, these are Marxist ideas. These are bitter ideas. It's sort of a school of grievance. I think Harold Bloom used to call it that, the grievance school, that you start with your grievances and then you just kind of emote. So why is the 1619 Project, why is the ideas that it puts forth, I'm talking simply historically, not ideologically, what is false about this, if not everything?
Well, it's false from the beginning when the project says that slavery in America was like nothing that had ever existed in the world before. I mean, that's one of the chapters of my book, Debunking the 1619 Project. I mean, are you kidding me? We can't go back farther in history than the beginning of slavery. As long as we have historical records, we have records of slavery. It's existed in every part of the globe. It's been practiced by and justified by the major religions. It's been practiced by indigenous peoples here in North America and South America. It is ubiquitous. And to say that, you know, we had sort of invented slavery and that it was unlike anything that had ever existed before is flat out false. And that's the beginning. So it's presented in isolation as this uniquely American practice that's particularly horrific. And I also compare it to practices of slavery in Africa and other parts of the globe to show that, you know, slavery was a bad thing, but it was a bad thing in all places. So that's where you start in smearing this country by presenting it falsely in that way.
I mean, we have to say this just in case anybody doesn't know. In my book, I learned this when I was writing my book about William Wilberforce, Amazing Grace, that black Africans enslaved black Africans. Black Africans then sold enslaved black Africans to white English people who took them down to the West Indies. You can go back in time, just as you said, the Egyptians enslaved the Hebrews. Well, we don't say that, you know, that was Egyptian supremacy. We recognize it as what we know it is. It's original sin. We are broken sinners. And this is what people have done to other people since the beginning of time. So why do you think that people pushing things like the 1619 Project have such an animus against America that they would distort that and make it sound as though slavery was invented by white people 400 years ago, which we know it was not?
Right. Well, Lenin in 1919 and 1920, when the Communist Party was first being established here in New York City, gave specific orders to party members to exploit the issue of race. And of course, that was a sore point, a weak point in American society. We did have Jim Crow. We did have the Ku Klux Klan. We did have discrimination. But ever since then, that has been the point, the weak point that has been exploited to cause strife and division, which is how the communists have attained power across the globe. And so if you want to change this country, if you want to change it from a Republican form of government, a system of free enterprise, and if you believe that socialism or communism is the way to go, then you cast doubt on the validity of this government and this economic system.
It's always interesting to me that people want to use our sins against us, forgetting that effectively speaking, we've repented of those sins. In other words, if somebody is still saying, I think slavery is great, I think racism is great, well, then you have a legitimate reason to go after them. But here we have a country where hundreds of thousands of white boys died in a war to end the scourge of slavery. How many other countries did that? Where was the slave trade and slavery abolished other than in this country? In other words, there are many countries today where you have slavery. Radical Islam still has slavery going on in Africa, blacks enslaving other blacks. It goes on and on and on. So it seems disingenuous. It seems to me that the Marxists, whether Howard Zinn or Nicole Hannah-Jones, they really don't seem to care about the truth. They seem wanting to do anything or say anything to put forward a Marxist agenda, even if they have to base it on lies.
Yeah. So, there is this refusal to admit that things have changed. And Shelby Steele, whom I quote in my book, Debunking the 1619 Project, talks about, you know, what has happened since the civil rights movement. But you've got to wonder, there are some people who don't want to take advantage of the progress that has been made, the civil rights laws that have been enacted, and they want a different kind of government. And that, I think, is the motivation. And whether or not you are ignorant of history and just refuse to listen to another perspective, or you are knowingly distorting history in a very clever way, the way Howard Zinn was, you are still not acknowledging what is reality and lying.
We're going to be right back, folks. I am talking to Mary Graybar, the book Debunking the 1619 Project.
I know how much I lean on you, only you can see the changes that have been true, have left a mark on me.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Folks, I'm talking to Mary Graybar, G-R-A-B-A-R. The book is Debunking the 1619 Project. And boy, does it need debunking. It is preposterous. It's being pushed out there. Mary, you are a resident fellow at the Alexander Hamilton Institute for the Study of Western Civilization. I learned, I think, only last night, watching Rick Burns' 1999 documentary about New York, that Alexander Hamilton, one of our founding fathers, that he was very active in ending slavery in his time. This is over 200 years ago. So again, the 1619 Project acts as though that never happened.
Exactly. And another thing is I spend a considerable amount of time on Thomas Jefferson. One of the big lies of the 1619 Project is that he never intended to abolish slavery. Now, Thomas Jefferson owned hundreds of slaves. He was born into a slave-owning family. But even for him, that is completely false. He spent his life trying to figure out a way to end slavery peacefully, how to avoid a civil war. He saw that coming. And so it's completely false to even charge Thomas Jefferson with wanting to continue slavery. That is completely false. It may not be in the way that Nicole Hannah Jones and the other writers would have it, which was to start a communist revolution. But he was someone who did want to abolish slavery peacefully.
I find it interesting that it is the Christian faith and biblical values in many places that made it possible for slavery to be abolished. Wilberforce, of course, is one of the more famous examples. But those are the values that say this is wrong, we have to do something about this, even if it means fighting a horrifying war. Communists are atheists, and typically they don't even have the beginning of a place to suggest that anything is wrong, much less slavery or racism. Where do you think somebody like Nicole Hannah Jones, who's part of the who launched the 1619 Project, where does she even get her ideas of morality, or is it just this subjective animus?
I think it's a lot of animus. There is never anything in her Twitter feed about, say, the horrors of slavery in China right now, the Muslim minority. She doesn't mention that, as far as I can tell. I don't know if she is a Christian or not, but the Christian fathers, even, when slavery was taking place, there were ethical codes. And one of the things I do in debunking the 1619 Project is I compare, slavery in Africa and these pagan societies. And it's really horrific when you start reading about this. It's kind of hard to figure out this person. She seems to be embittered, even though she's a very wealthy woman. She's become a very, very wealthy woman because of the 1619 Project. And to go back to her high school days and something that happened to her, and it's personal. But a person like that has no business writing a curriculum for students beginning at kindergarten, and it's being adopted K through 12 in schools across the country and being taught.
Now, what can your average parent, your average citizen do to push against this? Because the idea that schools are adopting it, that's more horrifying than that she wrote this nonsense.
Right. So one of the reasons I think she gets away with it, and the New York Times, which is, profiting from it, and these other companies, is that people really don't know about, the institution of slavery, the fact that there were black slave owners in this country. They see it, as I was taught back in grammar school and high school, that it was exclusively white people enslaving blacks, and it was something that only happened in the American South, and that is not true. And so that's the reason for writing my book, is to set the record straight, to give people the information. I have about 60 pages of footnotes, and I've gone to the journal articles, to the best-known historians on slavery, to black historians like John Hope Franklin and Benjamin Quarles, and Carter Woodson. So the history is there, and I think the public needs to be made aware of it so they can push back when the administrators and the educrats are saying, you just don't want to know this history. Well, yeah, we do, but we want to know the whole history.
Well, look, this is really, really terrible what's happening in America right now. And I think it's because of ignorance and general white guilt. I think liberal whites in particular, they're more concerned with looking pious or virtuous than with actually doing good. which is obviously selfish. They care more about themselves and being able to preen and swan in certain social circles than they care about the poor. If you really cared about the poor, you would fight Marxism and cultural Marxism and this nonsense tooth and nail. And those people need to wake up. We're going to be right back, folks, talking to Mary Graebar, G-R-A-B-A-R. The book is Debunking the 1619 Project.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Hey there, folks. Talking to Mary Graebar, G-R-A-B-A-R. The book is Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America. Mary, what led you to write this book? I mean, others have written about this, but this obviously is something that has taken a lot of your time. Why did you focus specifically on the 1619 Project?
Well, it was the latest history full of lies. I had written the Howard Zinn book, which emerged from my experience as a college instructor for 20 years when I saw the corruption of education and I learned about Howard Zinn. And so my book on Howard Zinn came out in 2019, right around the same time that the 1619 Project came out. And, you know, actually a day apart. And I saw the 1619 Project and I started reading it. And after I had written the book on Howard Zinn, I thought, well, it can't get much worse. But in its own unique way, the 1619 Project may be worse, especially because it's being adopted for, you know, elementary school grades. So I wanted to expose the lies. And, you know, I am an immigrant to this country. My parents brought me from a communist country when I was 2 years old. And I see that this kind of propaganda is demoralizing young people, causing racial conflict, and inspiring this kind of Marxist revolution. And I don't want that to happen. So I thought that the truth needed to be told.
What communist country did your parents take you from?
Slovenia, when it was part of Yugoslavia.
From Yugoslavia, yes. So it seems to me that those people who, the people who come from the communist world, like my mom and others, they know in a unique way how horrible Marxism and communism and socialism is. And they are sounding the alarm for those Americans who don't seem to understand how bad it is. But of course, right now, what you're saying is that they will do anything that they will do anything they can do, including play on the white guilt that is unique to America. And that seems to me what they're doing right now. They're saying that we have an opportunity here to exploit this and to bring Marxism in under the guise of caring about race.
Yes, and it's a very old strategy. And the people that are promoting this today think that they're being radical and new, but it really isn't. I mean, it's been employed, you know, for over 100 years, and it will do what it did in my country, you know, where I was born, and in other countries around the world, which is to set brother against brother, literally, to stir up the strife. And, you know, here in America, we do have, you know, blacks and whites and the different races and this history of discrimination, which we have to admit. But We seem to have gone beyond that, as Shelby Steele writes in his book on white guilt. So there must be a reason for these people who are promoting this fake history to want to go back, to act as if we're still living in 1930s America, right?
Well, yes, and it's just amazing to me that what Marxists do, and I know I've said this many times on the program, but it used to be, you know, the haves and the have-nots would be, you know, the moneyed class versus the worker. Well, of course, that never worked out. So cultural Marxism shifts. It still does the divide, and it says, let's divide people and let's set this group against this group. It's just that the groups are now different. But what is it about Marx that says we have to have this division between people and groups? It strikes me as central somehow to Marxist strategy.
Well, it's a good way to obtain power, and you have the class struggle. I mean, that's the whole notion behind, you know, communism, and history is just a you know, an accounting of these struggles between the classes. And then you're going to have, you know, the proletariat dominating, and eventually you'll have this equal division and harmony and you know, heaven on earth. And so however they can do that, they will do it. And it's being done. And it's also, it's and you think about it, it's exploiting white guilt. If white people didn't feel bad about racism and what had happened in the past and didn't want to be called racists, this wouldn't have such resonance. I mean, one of the worst things to be called, in my opinion, is a racist. And so it's very exploitative, and it's being done to children with the 1619 Project in the classrooms.
Now, if I'm called racist, I take it as a compliment, because what it actually means today, it means you've won the argument and now I have to resort to name calling. So if somebody calls you racist, take it as a badge of honor that, no, you're not a racist. They just have they've run out of arguments and they concede, but they don't want to concede. So they just have to throw a nasty term at you. That's what it is at this point. Let's be honest. But you're right. There's something particularly wicked about doing this to kids. And as though skin color today matters more than ever. Obviously, Dr. King was trying to move past that. So it's a strange thing. It seems like we reached a high watermark in 1968, and we've begun to go backwards since then. Obviously, we elected a black president, so how racist can the whites in America be? It just gets a little crazy. It seems very, very circular.
Yes, it's, you know, Booker T. Washington, I forget the exact words, but he said something about a certain group of people that wants to keep this alive, wants to keep the idea of oppression alive, and because it gives them power and because it makes them money. And so we have this class that seeks to do that. And the people who are promoting the 1619 Project are just raking it in as far as the money goes.
We're going to have to end it there. Mary Graybart, congratulations on the book, folks. It's called Debunking the 1619 Project. Get a copy. Folks, before we go for the day, first of all, Mary Graybar is Slovenian, and you...
I'm 100% Slovenian.
...are 100, if not more, percent Slovenian.
Like Donald Trump's wife.
Like Donald Trump's current wife.
Yes.
Melania. I believe her last name is Trump. So listen.
Okay.
We forgot to mention at the beginning of the program the passing of Norm MacDonald. Mm. A shock. He was conservative.
Yes.
He was a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and he was one of the most brilliant, brave comedians of our time. Yeah. He said things no one else was willing to say. That was part of his comedy. And he, for example, he got thrown off SNL because he would not stop referring to the fact that OJ had killed two people.
Yeah.
He wouldn't stop saying that.
Yeah.
He said it, I think, on The View. Actually, on The View, he got Barbara Walters upset, which is always a good goal to have, when he referred to Clinton, Bill Clinton, as a murderer. He goes, yeah, he killed a guy. I thought it was common knowledge. And then he was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And on that, he said that Patton Oswalt, is that his name?
Yes.
Oswald Patton, I forget.
Yeah.
That he said that the worst thing about the Bill Cosby thing was the hypocrisy. And he says, I disagree with that. I think the worst thing was the rape. And I thought, that's funny, but it's that dark humor.
Yeah.
But he was also, he was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was a friend of Victoria Jackson.
And a friend of Victoria, she was, and we never got him on this program.
Yeah.
I'm just so glad to know who he is and where he is.
Yeah.
Because he was one of those heroes. I think in his honor, we all need to be a little bit more outspoken. For example, I'll say something I've never said before.
What?
Donald Trump was elected twice.
Wow.
To the presidency.
That's big.
Yeah. I'm willing to go out on a limb based on what I've seen and say that he was elected twice. And by the way, if you don't believe that, hey, stay tuned, kids.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
I would love to be proven wrong. I'm not kidding. But I don't think I will be. I think I will be proven right because we're talking about what happened.
It's funny. Yeah, I mean, Mary's talking about how liars seem to say lies and they don't care what happens. We shouldn't be afraid to tell the truth and not care what happens.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not a conspiracy theory. It was a game plan.
Well, you know, actually, here's the big conspiracy theory. Some people believe this. They believe that the Biden was elected by the American people. I want you to think about how crazy that is.
That's nuts.
But they believe it.
To each
so
his own,
we're going to have the recount in Arizona. I think this has to happen. We have to have an accounting. When people tell you to shut up, no, move along, it's been decided, that's how you know they're scared to death of the truth. And that's why they're behaving that way.
Don't count out Senator Mastriano. He's still working in Pennsylvania on this. So.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Before we go, let's announce the grand prize winners for the Food for the Poor in case they weren't listening yesterday. Who we got?
Yeah, we got three people. Loretta McGee from Decatur, Alabama. Janet Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, from Stowe, Iowa. Ohio. Okay, let's get the right Janet. And Tim Sullivan from Saginaw, Texas. Those three.
Hey, folks, you're going to get... I think like some kind of a dump truck loaded with swag is going to come to your house. It's going to crush you if you're in the front yard. So hide inside the house.
Eric's books.
Do not come out. These
Hamster
books are
homes.
Big books. Mm-hmm. They're signed. There's going to be some other kind of swag, paraphernalia. Who knows what you're going to get.
Hats.
But just if you've got a front yard,
T-shirts.
Get out of that area because the amount of stuff you're going to get. Now, if you want to order this stuff, you can go to Shop Metaxas. That's at our website, metaxastalk.com. You can go to mystore.com. You can order a lot of this stuff. You want to use the code ERIC. But if you've won, you don't need to do a thing.
Not
just cower in fear because that dump truck, she's a-coming. And thanks for listening.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.